Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you to my darling bride, Lady Nedra Johnson, for that word today, for that worship. Well, I just want to say thank you for taking this time, whether in the live or in the recorded broadcast, to participate with us in what we have just initiated and called Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. This is an exciting time for me to have a chance to just share with you and really get together and hear and explore the Word of God. And this is the format. We just want to have some time of worship, and we also want to have some time in the Word of God. And I also want to make sure that I give you a chance to follow us on social media. I am Pastor David Johnson. This is David Johnson Ministries International, and it's also Destiny Generation Church. We kind of use those interchangeably, where Destiny Generation Church is the local church expression, and David Johnson Ministries International is our dream and vision to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. So you see there that we have on Facebook and on Instagram references to David Johnson Ministries International, and on YouTube we have a channel there with Destiny Generation Church, and on formerly Twitter, now X, is at Pastor David EJ. And so those are ways that you can connect with us as we do the things that we do. Amen. So I'm just going to take some time. I know Lady Nedra took some time to pray with us, but I'm going to also just pray again as we settle in for our first time to share wisdom today. And we want this to be a nice, crisp time between 7 and 8 o'clock, maybe even some time for you to comment in the comments section. And I have a moderator there who is watching, and we'll see if we can find some time to even explore any of the thoughts that you had that would be that I can answer as questions. So please be thinking about the word as we go through it, and also plan to comment with questions, comments, things that we can share. Even if we don't get to it in the live broadcast, we are recording this, we will be streaming this, so it's okay if you stay off video, because we will actually have the stream go to Facebook and YouTube eventually, and so we just want you to be aware of that. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Lord, we do praise you, God, from whom all blessings flow. And so we want to acknowledge that you are here with us. And so we pray that you would just be in this moment again as we have shared the word of God. We thank you for the worship for Lady Nedra. We thank you for this time together. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Now say this confession with me. I know you're mute, but I like for you to confess over the word. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, your word says, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you in faith without wavering, and that you would give it liberally without fault finding. I ask now for that wisdom, and I believe that I receive it. And I say with my Lord Jesus that I must be about my Father's business. Thank you for giving me your insight into my kingdom success. In Jesus' name, I pray, expecting. Amen. Now say this with me. I am a believer of the Word of God. I am an epistle of the Spirit of God. I am a disciple of the Son of God. I am a finder of the destiny path of God for my life. All righty. The teaching we're gonna do today comes from a series of teachings that I have entitled Power Principles from the Book of Proverbs. Power Principles from the Book of Proverbs. Since this is our first one, I'm going to do a little bit of introduction to that and then specifically deal with the power principle, the power principle called the vitality of vision. So that's really our topic, but I need to lay some foundation. And our core scripture that we'll be dealing with today comes from Proverbs 29, verse 18. All right. Just a key note here. I love the book of Proverbs. I love all the books of the Bible, but I have a special affinity to the book of Proverbs. It's because as the son of ministers, my mom and my dad were ministers, but particularly and especially my mother, who went on to found the church, it was the book of Proverbs that God used to set my life on the trajectory that got me to where I am today. My encouragement to young people is that Proverbs can give you 20/20 foresight. I grew up hearing the statement that hindsight is 20/20, but usually that means you have the pain of recovery after you have made a mess of things. And so we want to have an ability to understand how the book of Proverbs can help us see situations in advance, see danger ahead, and then avoid it. The way that Proverbs declares that principle is, it says, a wise man sees evil before it happens and hides himself. The simple pass on, the foolish, the simple-minded go on their merry way and they get punished. And so a person who has tapped into proverbial wisdom has an ability to see something dangerous coming and sidestep the danger and move on towards destiny. All righty. So, definition of a proverb. Well, my dictionary definition of a proverb is a short sentence often repeated. A short sentence often repeated. Let's see if I can just put my thing up there. A short sentence often repeated, expressing a well-known truth or common fact ascertained by experience or observation, a maxim of wisdom, a short, pithy statement, a short, pithy saying in frequent and widespread use that expresses a basic truth or a practical precept. An example of that would be, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Okay, it's a statement in common use in our American vernacular, but it's trying to express some principle that could help you in life. A pithy saying is poetry that is powerful. Something that's said but designed to make you think about your life and then make adjustments. Now, that's just a proverbial statement in terms of the world, but in scripture, in the word of God, Proverbs sometimes signifies a moral maxim, something that's designed to help you to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, wise and foolish, or a maxim that is enigmatical. An enigma means it's a riddle. Sometimes wise people speak in code. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. A dark saying of the wise that requires interpretation. Sometimes you have to pause, take the time to understand, to get the full implication of what a proverb is actually telling you. The Hebrew word for proverb, if you are a Strong's Concordance reader, is the word mashal. And it simply means what we said before, properly a pithy maxim, usually of a metaphorical nature, hence a simile or parable. And in other words, it would take two things that are separate and put them close together. Go to the ant, you sluggard, and be wise. The ant is the simile or the parable of, or the metaphor of the diligent worker. So it's, so you can look at something natural and understand something spiritual. Sentences, another definition of Proverbs is sentences of ethical wisdom and maxims. I'll go back. Interestingly enough, the word Mashal, 49:12 in your Strong's Concordance, for those that go back, is related to a word Mashal that's also almost the same way. That's 49:10, which means to rule, reign, and to have dominion. Obviously, there's a power in these pithy sayings to take the obedient listener to the top of their lives. Solomon, the human author who under the Holy Spirit gave us these proverbs, used this maxim in leading. It says Solomon reigned, Mashal, H49:10, over the kingdoms of all of the Philistines to the border of Egypt. Now I have my own, what I call the King David definition of Proverbs, and it is, it's an acrostic definition that a proverb is a principle revealed, ordered, and verbalized to excel the recipient in the blessing. A principle is something, principle meaning something that I can structure my life around that has been revealed, ordered, and verbalized. Like Solomon took time, according to the scripture, to organize and document proverbs that he thought, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, were significant enough to be the word of God, and who could, and that could help the person who receives them walk the blessed life. All right, so that's the piece of the foundation that we want to understand, why the book of Proverbs, why the study of Proverbs, because so that you can live a blessed life. And there's principles that you can meditate, understand, and that will help you succeed in life. And today we want to talk about the vitality of vision. Vision is vital to your life. It is vital for your life. It gives your life vitality. And the absence of it, as the scripture that we're about to share with you will tell you, that when you don't have vision, you suffer a loss. And it doesn't just mean the sight of the eyes. And so we want to understand vision from as it's being described and portrayed here in the scripture. So let's go. The vitality of vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So where there is no vision, something negative happens, but a person of vision does something else, keeping the law, and is happy. All right. Now we're going to take some other translations. This is the King James Version. It's King Jimmy. Bishop Gideon Thompson, we call him King Jimmy, the King James Version. And then I'm going to give you my own interpretive definition. In the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. The first illumination of what vision is, a redemptive revelation of God. The people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. So this passage of scripture, or this translation, notes that vision is a redemptive revelation of God. God revealing something that will pull people out of destruction. God gave Moses a picture of a land flowing with milk and honey that was supposed to pull them out of slavery. He gave them the preferred picture of their future. They held on to a picture of giants and grasshoppers, let the vision go, and perished in the wilderness. The Jewish Publication Society version tells you where there is no vision, where there isn't this picture, the people cast off restraint. When Moses went up on a mountain, God gave them a picture that we're going to a land of milk and honey. They said, hey, we don't know where Moses has gone. And then they brought out and made them some golden calves and said, these are the guys that brought you out of the Egypt. And then the people started having parties and orgies and did things that cast off restraint. So because they lost their vision, their behavior was affected. The Proverbs 29:18 in the Bible in basic English says, where there is no vision, the people are uncontrolled. And so, like, part of your ability to walk in the self-control and the discipline you need for success is in cultivating your vision. And that's also not just true for an individual, it's true for a people group. The contemporary English version of this Proverbs 29:18 says, without guidance from God's law, without guidance from God, comma, law and order disappear, but God blesses everyone who obeys his law. So a vision is supposed to give you guidance on where to go so that we behave, particularly a personal vision, a household, a family vision, a team vision, a company vision, a national vision of a land. It's supposed to cause people to walk lawfully and orderly. If we really hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by God with such inalienable rights, among these being law, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's supposed to guide us in a way that causes us to live lawfully and orderly so that all people can have those rights in their life. In the Dubie Rains Bible, Proverbs 29:19 says, when prophecy shall fail, the people shall be scattered abroad. When people don't hold the prophetic picture of the truth, they're scattered abroad. Martin Luther King had a prophetic dream, a vision, a prophetic dream, that little black kids and little white kids would live together in peace and harmony. We are testing that, and people are being scattered abroad from that prophetic vision, aren't they? In the Message Bible, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are blessed. A person of vision can not only see what they see in their natural eyes, but they can see with their spiritual eye to know what God is doing. And it says, if you can't do that, if all you see is what's in front of your five senses, you will stumble. But when we can attend to the thing that God reveals, then we are most blessed. In the Good News Bible, it says a nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. So vision is God giving guidance on a corporate level, is what this passage of scripture is saying, or what this translation of the Bible is saying. Happy are those who keep God's law. In God's Word translation, it says, without prophetic vision, people run, and I add, buck wild. But blessed are those who follow God's teachings. And so part of what we want to always do is make sure we have a vision that helps us to restrain ourselves and walk in the vision that God has for our lives. Now let's look at what I call, this is me, this is no, you're not going to find this in a paper Bible. This is Pastor David's, what I call the King David interpretive version. And the statement I have from my studies of this passage of scripture is, where there is no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult. When people don't have a picture of things getting better, I might as well just go wild and out, right? If the future, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. When there is no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult. But the person who, the King James says, keep the law, but I say make daily decisions in line with their desired destiny, shall achieve happiness and success. This is important because the vision should talk about where you're going to be in the future, and then things, steps that you can take today to move you closer. Joseph had a vision of his brothers bowing down in front of him. And even though he went through tough situations, God brought him out the other side. And it said when he got to the other end, he remembered the dream that God had given them, that vision actually came to success. And he behaved himself in situations where he could have really lost control because of the difficulty of what he went through. Vision helps you to maintain stability throughout stability and perseverance through the adversity of life to get you from where you are to where you want to be. So my objectives is to illuminate to you the power of vision for life development and success. Number two, to highlight principles, parameters, and possibilities that must be adhered to in order for vision to become a living reality. And three, to challenge you to give more of your time, talent, teamwork, and telling power. Because when you're in a corporate vision, you also have to convince other people to go along with you to cause vision to come to pass. All right, so let's study vision in further detail. Let's look at the Hebrew definition of the word for vision and the root from where it comes. The Hebrew word 2377 Strong's Concordance. People, you can tell I'm a Bible thumper. I love the references to Hebrew and the Greek and just try to tear it apart and make sure I understand what scripture is saying, because sometimes things get lost in translation. Hebrew word chazon, you see the Hebrew script in that second bullet there, chazon, vision. Vision in an ecstatic state. Sometimes people, John the Revelator said, I was caught up in the spirit on the Lord's day and I saw a vision. Sometimes people have night visions. Daniel would sleep and he would have visions of the night. Sometimes people just have an oracle. Balaam, even though he was called a false prophet, had a divine communication and he would get in a trance-like state. And then sometimes there were books of the Bible that were called visionary books, like the book of Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel saw the whale in the middle of the whale, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He had a book of prophetic visions that were recorded in scripture. Now, I love to read the Jewish version of the Old Testament called the Tanakh. And it has within it some of the original teaching of the old master rabbis of the Jewish faith historically. I don't subscribe to all of their teachings, but they have a depth of wisdom in the Word of God that is quite profound. One of the things that they'll tell you is that the ancient Hebrew language is the original language of mankind. They believe that when you read the account of Noah and his sons in Genesis 10, and when the discussion of the Tower of Babel and the land being divided, that the one language that the earth was of was Hebrew. It's interesting that the Western languages are alphabet, the Eastern languages are pictures. Hebrew is both letters and pictures. And so sometimes I will study the word, the Hebrew word, and then look at the word pictures for each individual letter and see if they give me a picture. And so the word chazon, the word picture, and this is just me interpreting the word pictures from that. It says to me that vision is the ability to cut through to the most important thing as a basis for conscious action. See, why do you need vision? Because if everything is important, nothing is important. Vision helps establish priorities. All problems are not created equal. I mean, even as we think through where we are as a nation, what's most important? Is it reproductive rights of women? Is it border security? Or is it making sanctuary cities such that all the people that are aspiring to come to the country can come? This is not a political thing. I'm just saying that one of the functions of leadership is to establish a vision so that you can prioritize amidst the clutter of the most important thing and act to move in the direction so that the vision becomes visible. Vision. Go back. Vision. Another definition from the word picture of vision is that vision is the ability to be sufficiently armed to see into things fenced and separated to the point that they are revealed and open. In other words, you can't hide something from a person of real vision. They will peep your hold card. Ever heard that peep your whole card? You know what that means? A person of vision can see stuff that you're not really intending to share. It was interesting when we were in negotiation for the house where I am, and we were believing for it, and we had a vision for it, and we were making our confessions, and we were walking in here, but we were a little far apart on the price. And Nedra said, we need to go and tour the house once again. And when we toured the house, she saw some more boxes and said, David, these people are ready to move. We need to negotiate and make make the deal now, because there are more boxes. They're ready to go. Now, she just had vision of that. And then that reveals something that they weren't trying to reveal to us, but a person of vision can see stuff that other people can't see, right? A good scripture on this one, take this scripture down, is Proverbs 28:11. It says that a rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. In other words, the person with more resources isn't always more resourceful. The person with more to see doesn't always see more. But a person who sees more can do more than even if the person has more resources. Sometimes I study business stories, and there's all these little startups that take up a big company and turn an industry over because the small company had vision even when the big company had resources, and they couldn't see far enough to get out of their own way. Sometimes we can only see where we've been and not where we want to go. And if you flirt with your past, you cheat on your future. And so don't be so turned to your past that you can't have a vision of where you want to go in your future. Pharaoh was on his throne with the problem. Joseph, the visionary, was in prison with the solution. In the area of vision, they had a common connection. So Pharaoh's up here, Joseph's down here, but vision made them see at the same level because he had the ability to see something that was fenced, that was not clearly known. He could see what was going to happen for the next 14 years before it happened, and then he could then make conscious preparation to profit from that future. All right. Now, so that's the part of where there's no vision, the people perish, and what vision means. Now let's talk about he that keeps the law. The word for keepeth there in Proverbs 29:18 is the word shamar. To hedge in, as with thorns, to guard, to protect, to attend, to be circumspect, to take heed, to be a keeper, to mark, to narrowly observe, to preserve, to regard, to save. And so that gives you some sense of the word for vision. All right. Couple key points that I want to note is this word shamar is the word that was used in Genesis 2:15 when it says that the Lord God put the man in the garden to dress and to keep it. Keep, shamar. Man was to cultivate the garden, but he was also to protect it. That's why Adam's inability and unwillingness to defend the garden against hostile thought, or against what I call dive vision, a vision different from the vision God had given, was so egregious. God had already told him that his assignments had aspects that would require military force, but so does your vision. In other words, you gotta fight to keep and hold on to your vision when other thoughts try to take you in other directions. There was a vision that God had given to Jesus that he was going to sacrifice himself. And Satan came with a different picture. Hey, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And so he had to spiritually war to hold his vision. And not only did he have to war against the enemy, he had to wrestle with his own desires in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're coming up to Passion Week, and he had to wrestle against his own desires to walk in the vision that God gave for him. Another passage of scripture that uses this word keep is Hosea 12, verse 12 and 13. And it says, Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. The word preserved is the word shamar. The prophet referred to is the visionary Moses. He preserved the children of Israel by keeping them aligned with the vision. Remember, the vision of a land flowing with milk and honey, not the giants and grasshoppers, milk and honey. So sometimes God will give you a picture of a preferred future that doesn't tell you all the difficulty that you will have to go through to get from here to there. Because sometimes if you knew all the difficulty that you would go through, you might give up in advance. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, that was vision, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. The vision must come down to a law that an inspired person called the visionary ensures is kept. This is what I call the law of the garden. I call it the law of the garden because it's the same keep word from the Garden of Eden. Your dominion must be revelatory based, but it must be regimentally implemented. That visionary with the vision becomes a revelatory regimen, or as Jesus described to Peter, as kingdom keys, that person becomes the instigator that preserves the people and brings the power of heaven to earth. So if you are assigned, whether it's in your company, in your family, in your own personal life, in your business, in your community organization, in your neighborhood, because you're on the board of your homeowners association, the person who has the vision is the person who is responsible not only for their success, but for the community's success. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. Four laws of vision. This is where we're going to end today. Four power keys of vision, development, and fulfillment. Number one, vision is the progressive picture of purpose. The Apostle Paul talked about the fact that Jesus appeared to him when he was Saul of Tarsus going to kill Christians. And Jesus made this statement, I have appeared unto thee, Saul, called Paul, for this purpose, and I will appear to thee in the future. In other words, you get one snapshot of vision, but after you keep running with it and you move closer to the end, then you have to re-envision the vision to get more detail as you go along. So don't expect that you got the totality of what you need at the beginning. It's a progressive picture, but it's a progressive picture of purpose. He said, I appear to you. I gave you a picture of your purpose. And then the Apostle Paul said in verse 19, I will not be disobedient. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So take time to read Acts 26, 13 through 19, and you will see a picture of a person receiving a redemptive revelation from God and walking that out in their lives. All right. Number two, a vision that doesn't result in a consistent set of actions called the law is just a wishing. It's not a vision. You can have a vision of losing weight, but it's not a vision of losing weight if it doesn't change your diet. You can have a vision of being a great success in business, but if it doesn't get you up in the morning and put you to bed at night and have you actually put some regimen to cause it to come to pass, it's just a wishing. God is not into lottery testimonies, money without mentorship, wealth without wisdom, income without insight. God wants you to learn something in the process so that when you get to the future he has for you, you are better than you were when you started. You are prepared for it because you have grown in the process. Number three, positional leadership empowers the visionary. That's Habakkuk 2. It says, I will stand up on my watch and set me up on my tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So he said, hey, to get a vision from God, you got to position yourself in prayer, position yourself in seeking God. Notice he set himself on a tower. In other words, he was above the people, but closer and beneath God. In other words, sometimes you have to pull away from people and pull close to God to get the vision that you use to lead them. Sometimes that's a very lonely position, visionary. It's a lonely position. Moses didn't get the vision with the people. He was alone on Mount Sinai and then came back and told them the vision that he had for that group of people. So don't expect that everybody will understand and see that, because your position of leadership empowers you, and God speaks to you on the basis of the leadership he's assigned to you. God gives vision to the person, but fulfillment to the people. In other words, a person has to have vision, but they also have to have processes and ways and means of transmitting that vision that they got and they hold by virtue of their position of leadership to the people that they lead. All right? Now, positional leadership empowers the visionary. You need to stand back. You need to stand apart. You need to take time. Sometimes you got to draw away. Sometimes it's a lonely thing. You got to be okay with people misunderstanding what God has called you to do, because sometimes they'll get it when the manifestation all happens. Positional leadership empowers the visionary, but submission to the visionary empowers the people. Acts 16, 9 and 10, we see where a person gets vision and then a people get the fulfillment. Acts 16, 9 and 10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. This did a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, everybody didn't see it, but they trusted him as their leader. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See how, because they submitted to the vision of the visionary, they therefore could walk in fulfillment. That's where I wanted to get to today. Now, I want to share my vision with you. I told you we're starting this thing that we call Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. It's my vision that this become a go-to virtual event in your life where you have a time in your midweek to receive a word, receive some worship, and acknowledge where you see God in your worship, and you acknowledge that God sees you as he pours his wisdom out to you, that you seek God, that you worship him, and that in that context, we ask him for wisdom, and then we share the wisdom from the word of God with you. I ask you to follow me on social media. I'm also want to ask you, because I asked you, I told you I had an objective that you would not only use your time, talent, and treasure, but your telling power to bring this vision to pass. I want to grow this. I know we're on Zoom, but we're gonna work to progressively go to Zoom and YouTube and use all these other social media channels, because we want to get the word of wisdom out. We believe that it is a core part of the vision of Destiny Generation Church and David Johnson Ministries International to help people understand, to receive the power of worship, but also ultimately to help them to receive the wisdom of God. That's why I have a confession that says, Lord, if we lack wisdom, you said that we should ask you and you would give it to us liberally. And so we ask and believe. And so we confess that, and then we teach on the wisdom of God. I want you to be a part of that and help me to do that. I believe that God wants to continue to expand us as a community of wise worshipers. Amen. Can you help me do that? Give me a thumbs up if that blessed you. I don't know if there was any questions. Minister Joshua, is there any questions or things in the chat that we should talk about before I close out today?
Nope, nothing in the chat.
Okay. All right. Were you saying something else?
I was just saying amen.
Okay. Please know we want this to be interactive. We're part of visionary fulfillment is you start with what you have, start where you are, start with what you have, give it all you got, trusting that in the process of a God-ordained redemptive revelation that he will add his super to your natural as you go from faith to faith, and from glory to glory and from strength to strength. So we're starting with what we have, and we're hoping that you'll help us go further. I also want to encourage you to partner with us. My main way that you partner with us, with David Johnson Ministries International and the Destiny Generation Church, is the Givelify app. And so this is the information there that you can use to partner with us. And we pray that you're blessed. We're going to finish out some more part of this. There's a part two of this, where we talk about some of the brass tacks of corporate vision. Because you can have a personal vision for your life, but whenever you have a vision that involves more than one person, there's some processes of translating and transmitting that vision from one to another that are very important. And how do you structure particularly a large corporate vision, whether it's for your business, your social organization, your school, et cetera, et cetera. You want to know principles from God's word that'll help you align with people and fulfill vision with them. All right. I'm just trying to, sorry about that. I'm always trying to get smaller. All right. I don't know. I'm going to find out how to get that from moving at the top. But anyway, that's the piece that I wanted to share with you thus far. Please, as we post it up, please take the time to follow us on social media and to like, share. And if you are blessed by this, go to our social media post and leave a testimony. We want other people to join our community of wise worshipers and experience the difference of destiny. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do say thank you. I thank you for this time that we have together. I thank you, Lord, that this Bible study is designed to bless people, to give them wisdom from you, insight from your word, principles that are revealed, ordered, and verbalized to excel the recipient in the blessing. Vision, and I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their vision as they as the hearers and those that participate in this webcast would spend time in their own study, in their own prayer, seeking you. I'm praying that you would inspire them, that your Holy Spirit would cause them to see visions and dreams, that they would have visions at night, and that they would have visions in the daytime, that they would understand how to move forward in the process of walking in vision and visionary fulfillment. We thank you and we praise you for giving us your wisdom, your insight into our kingdom success. We thank you for it now. Until we get together next week, Lord, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. See you next time.